devotee feels that everything that happens in his life is an orchestration of Krishna, including the miseries that come unannounced or announced at any point of time. Not only a devotee tolerates the sufferings of this world, understanding them to be the results of his own karma, but a devotee sees Krishna in sufferings. He sees that this is Krishna's love for me in order to bring me closer to him. Because Krishna has no plan to torture any living entity. Krishna has no desire to see his own parts and parcels suffering. Like in our body, if you have a part of the body which is having a boil, filled with pus, it's very painful. So we have no desire to harm the part of the body or cut off the limbs of the body. But we have to get the pus operated, which may be very painful ultimately for the welfare of the part of the body, hand or leg. So the removal of the pus may cause pain, but ultimately it's meant for the good of the body. Similarly, Lord Krishna, when he sees that the conditioned soul becomes influenced by Mahamaya and wants to lord over the material nature, he hands over the living entity under the custody of Maya Devi. Although Lord knows that Maya Devi is going to slap and give whips to the living entity, Lord knows it. Reluctantly he hands over the living entity to Maya Devi for the purpose of reformation. And Maya Devi also doesn't derive great joy in torturing the living entities because she is also Krishna Dasi. Yamaraj also doesn't feel any great joy in torturing living beings because he is a pure devotee of Krishna. It seems that none of them are interested in troubling the living entity, still they have to give us trouble because we trouble every other living entity. Because of our contamination, the living entity's contamination that is surrounding the soul, which are superfluous to the soul. And that is the cause of all the sufferings that we undergo in our lives. And these sufferings are actually arranged so that one can come back to one's very natural state of consciousness. As it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam itself, anartho pashamam sakshat bhakti yoga madokshache lokasya ajanato vidvams chakre sattvata sammitam. Anartho upashamam sakshad. Anarthas can be eradicated by reciting Srimad Bhagavatam and understanding the Lord's love for every living being and the pastimes that Lord comes and performs in this dark material world to attract the living being back to the spiritual world. And the Srimad Bhagavatam concludes with this most famous verse. Nama sankirtanam jasya sarva papa pranashanam pranamo dukkha shamanastam namami harim param. So all the sinful reactions can be eradicated at once only by the chanting of the holy name. There is no alternative method which is more powerful than the holy name to purge all the impurities that are now clinging to the heart of the living being. And unless these impurities are removed, the living entity cannot joyfully be engaged in devotion service. So one should at least theoretically understand that the miseries that are coming in my life in the material world are owing to my own impurities in my heart, and those impurities are to be cleaned. And then secondly, one has to understand that these miseries are actually offered to me as a benediction by Krishna, so that I don't become intoxicated in the material world, but I always run to the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, and in this way remain safely under the custody of devotees. So remembering these things helps a devotee to remain sober in approaching Krishna through the chanting of the holy names. Harinam Prabhu ki.